RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Hump Day Val and
Bean. Tis
back
Wednesday.
Together. Yes. It is.
Yes, tis Wednesday. And there's a lot to talk about today.
Yes.
So, do you want to start with the personal story that like took over the chat last night?
What's that?
Something was in the air yesterday, and even today, Frank. Some nefariousness. So the energy was just like tense and like angry and like unsettled. And as we know, there's craziness going on all over the world right now. So There's that. But here in Little Horry County, South Carolina, there was a girls' softball game occurring last evening.
Okay.
And this team is known that we were playing. This team is known for their, how shall we say it? Unsportsmanlike.
Parents?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because 15 years coaching youth sports, I can tell you, teams are usually known for their parents.
Yes. And their coach. Horrible. Horrible baby. I mean.
You know what I hate? I don't miss from the last 2 years of unfortunately being torn away from coaching youth baseball is the sound of, was that necessary? I do not miss that at all. Was that necessary?
So this is the first place team. They last time Helga's softball team played them, they won 13. They didn't win. The other team won 13-0. Womped them. But They've gotten to gel a little bit. And of course, it's the end of the season when they're finally gelled together and then season's over. Because it's just a club team. So it's not like whatever. And so they're on the field last night and the pitcher on this other team hits a girl. Okay, fine. Hits another girl. All right, whatever. She's having a bad night. Then she hit another girl. And we were all like, and the umpire warned them. Now, if this is fast pitch softball. If I were the coach of the other team, I would have gone to the mound and said, hey, lady, what's wrong? You know, are you okay? Do you want to come out? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Long story short, the game goes on. They're winning like 8-0. My daughter's team's winning 8-0. She hits two more people. This is five girls now she's hit. One of them goes off the field injured. Her parents are literally like taking her to the doctor. Okay?
Okay.
Finally, all of us stand up and we're like, all right, enough is enough already. Like,
Was that necessary?
Nobody said that, Frank. But that's basically the sentiment among all the parents watching this game. It's like, how many times is this girl going to wallop one of our players? And then there was like, you know, stupid crap going on the bases. And it was just nasty. It was just a dirty game.
Right.
So finally, like one of the parents of the girls that got hit stands up and says, come on, you know, do something about this. And the pitcher, who's now being talked to by the coach, because she's now being thrown out of the game, says to the mom of the daughter that was hit, I'm a kid, sit down.
What the hell's that mean?
So the mom says, you know, you respect your elder, blah, blah, blah. And the coach says, don't talk to my girls that way. At which point I lost my shit. I just lost it. I said, shut the F up, you stupid mother. I'm going off. And all the officials, quote, from like the scoreboard, they come down and they're like, either you stop this or you're going home.
Oh, memories.
My God, it got bad.
Memories.
So,
oh.
Yeah. Go ahead. It just gets worse from there. The game goes on, whatever. And then I'm like, I'm starting to film because there's something's going to happen. So one of the parents on their team got mad at their coach for being, this is what happened. One of their players hit a foul ball down the third baseline and our coach was coaching on that side and it was coming right for his head. It was a drive right for his head. So he put his hand up to block his head.
Right.
And the other coach starts bitching about interference.
Was he in fair territory?
No.
Okay, so this is this is just too much, and it just takes me so. Oh man, I almost miss it, having the opposing team show up and the coach comes over to exchange lineup cards, and I smell whiskey on their breath. And I'm like, oh no, oh please, and I know what's gonna happen tonight.
Well, it's true, and then the other team, like they've done this so many times throughout the year, like they've pulled out rules that they just make up. And then they come to the mound and they're like talking to the umpire, these poor umpires that volunteer, like, oh goodness. So here, this is what ended up happening to end the game. Now, just as this was happening, I think it was this one. Hold on. Just as this was happening, the rain started coming down, hardcore. So there's two parents. There's a parent and the coach are yelling at each other on their side of the field. So the parent from their team is yelling at their coach, right? Listen. Mm-hmm. Go! 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 That's the ump.
Go!
Go!
You! You! Go! I'm done.
Game's over. I just ended the game.
He ended the whole game?
He ended the entire game.
What was the inning?
I don't even know. But
at that point, does anybody even really know why they're there?
No, you know? No, it was debauchery. It was just complete debauchery. And in the chat last night, there was just all kinds of shenanigans going down. Like, people were arguing with each other and it was like, whoa, what is in the air this evening? Like, there was just something not right.
Well, what phase of the moon are we in? And is Mercury in retrograde or something like that? I don't know. This is why, as just with as crazy as the weeks are, I try to stay away from chat rooms just as a general rule. Not one chat room over another. It's not partial or anything like that. It's just there's just I don't know what's going on. Everybody's very hypersensitive, and
it's the new moon, Frank, and the next full moon is May 26th.
Okay.
Wasn't even that.
Well, we're all very stressed out.
Yes.
You know, there's the cyber pandemic is right around the corner. The rocket exchanges out in the Middle East again. And what else is there? The French are on the verge of civil war and
so we here in South Carolina, a couple of little bit tidbits of South Carolina news that are affecting, you know, everybody really. There is no gas here. I don't care what anybody says. Like, I happened to turn on the local station here yesterday while I was perusing around, and it was Sebastian Gorka being simulcast, and like every caller he had was from South Carolina in my area, saying how there was no gas anywhere. This is what happened. Our media here caused this, okay? The governor said, don't worry, we're good. Everything will be fine. And the media went, oh my God, gas shortage, everybody, there's not going to be any gas. So everyone ran out at the same exact time to get gas, even if they didn't need it, caused the gas shortage.
See, I was told that things are a lot worse than they're letting on.
Maybe.
So I went out and I topped off both of my cars just to make sure that if anything did happen, I'd be all right, because I don't do a lot of driving these days anyway, so.
Well, that could very well be that things are worse, but they have this thing operating now at limited capacity manually, apparently. And
gotcha.
We should have gas by the end of the week, but it was crazy. Like, I actually did need gas because I'm one of those people that doesn't get it until the very last second. So I ended up having to find a gas station early yesterday morning, but then, you know, I have driving to do. So I'm like, I'm not going here, I'm not going here, I'm not going here, I'm not doing that. Like, I don't want to run out of gas. Screw that noise.
Well, in other news, it's obviously, I don't know if this is like Cyber Monday for telemarketers, but I've gotten at least 5 calls this morning already.
Really?
2 from New York area codes, then Wisconsin and Tennessee and all this crap. I'm like, wow.
They want your soul.
Is it? I don't know. It must be, no, everybody's probably hit their quotas or something, but nutty stuff, and I'm keeping an eye out. I really do think that the cyber attack pipeline thing there is another shot across the bow this is a year that they're going to start really massaging the cyber pandemic narrative, and they have to get the severity of the situation in the forefront of people's minds and the consciousness. So none of this is very surprising to me.
What do you mean the severity of the situation? What situation do you mean?
What a cyber pandemic is, and what, you know, how you're you want to talk about human lives lost and disrupted, so much more. Even if you take the 500,000 categorized deaths that have been given awarded to the COVID story, that would be nothing. That would be nothing. If we really had a big cyber attack in a way that actually took out our internet power, things like that, if those types of supply lines were disrupted, you're talking about at least a third of the country dead in months. So, I mean, and of course, don't bring this up to be sensationalist. I mean, this is what they were talking about since last summer, coming out of the same people who did all of their simulations for a worldwide coronavirus outbreak. They're talking about the same thing. So when I hear stuff like this, oh, another cyber attack, and we have this, I'm like, oh boy, it's like Fort Sumter over here.
I think I have a My Patriot supply link for folks.
BlueMonsterPrep.com. That's a good one. Those are my friends.
Well, okay. So there you go.
Oh, do you have a My Patriot supply for you? You have your own store set up?
I do.
Oh, okay. Well, then, that's good. I thought you were just pulling it out of your ass.
No, do you have that other one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're set up with me. You know, if you want to get something for the show, I should ask them.
Well, we could do that, or we could just break all the rules, because that's what we like to do here at the Dark to Light podcast, and put both of our links in the description.
Yeah, the show, go to either or. Who the hell cares? Because it's really just a matter of, I mean, I don't get a free toaster. You go to one or the other.
What do you get? You have to get something.
Any sponsor I have, I usually just say, hey, you know what? Let's have a flat rate for the whole month and have at it. Go ahead I hope you make four times as much as you just paid in,
because
I don't
have.
That's
what I like to do too, because it's just so much better that way for both parties, honestly.
Yeah, and I don't have any time to you know, go and manage ad traffic I did four plugs, I have to do two more. No, I don't have time for any of it. Godspeed. I don't care. I refuse. People who come on, they have a book. I'll give you 20% of all the sales that night. Nope, I don't want it.
Yeah, no, I don't like doing that either.
None of it. So it's really just about getting good all American businesses in front of all American audiences. And when it comes to survival prepping, I mean, hell, look what the hell's going on right now. It's probably the most important thing a person can do is think about. What kind of stores they have in their basement.
I had like freaking so much that I had bought over the years.
And it burned up?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah. I have nothing.
Oh.
This is the little things that people don't realize. Like, you know, oh God, it's the worst. Like all those things that you know, you did to prepare, like my generator, you have no idea.
How much popcorn did you have stored in your basement?
I don't have a basement.
Well, okay, how much popcorn did you have stored in your
honestly,
attic?
Honestly? Really? I had a case.
Did you smell the corn popping?
No, because it was just waterlogged. That was the biggest thing, more than the stuff that burned was really in the back of the house. More of it was the water damage from the entire house being saturated in water.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, enough of the popcorn and...
It's Let's okay. I like to share with the audience, Frank. It's fine. My life.
I just don't want to waste people's time.
I don't think
ramblings.
No. I don't think people feel that way. I think they'd much rather be a part of our family and have us have this little conversation than just stick to business all the time. But there's a lot of business. So with that being said, the next thing that happened in South Carolina, Frank, yesterday was our governor, Henry McMaster.
Uh-huh.
released an executive order saying that no longer could school districts mandate masking.
Hell yeah. Well, that's good.
That he said that there would be a waiver for parents to sign, releasing the school district of any liability should something happen. Like, if somebody's, like, grandfather gets COVID and sadly something bad happens to that person, you can't come back and sue the school and say, well, it's because my kid got it at school and gave it to my grandfather. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
That was the thing that was holding everything up. But, of course, most of the educators, most, not all, most, are of what political persuasion, Frank?
What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I'll give you a guess.
Progressive. Lefties.
So, because of that, they're pulling out all the... We don't have the form. This caught us off guard. We're completely caught off guard. There's no form. We don't know what to do. We can't... You must follow masking procedures in place in the school until we get this sorted out.
Yeah. We just need a few more years to sort it all out. Everybody's sorting.
Yeah. So what I've seen, because I'm in a ton of South Carolina groups now, given my new position, is... There's the parents are just writing like handwritten disclaimer notes.
Uh-huh.
And sending them into school with no masks. As a matter of fact, one of the things that the school district said is no, he can't do this. There's federal law about or federal guidance about buses. He's not allowed to do this for buses. All students must still wear a mask on the bus. So one school district had their entire elementary school, like all of the kids that didn't want to wear masks anymore, which was like 3/4 of the kids. All of them did a walk to school today in protest.
This is fantastic. And I'll tell you, and it's another reason why I look around at one crisis over another and I say, okay, well, keep your wits about you folks, because the United States, for as badly abused and taken for a ride we are, the local pockets of resistance in numerous states, as they are not having an easy time.
No.
They're not having an easy time at all with us.
Let me play from a school board meeting last evening. I'm not going to say who the school district is or where this person was. I don't want anybody doxing anyone or anything. I'm just going to play this for you. This is one of the people who are a proponent of continuing the mask wearing. Here.
Wear masks. Should not be outbursting, and you should also not be yelling at the people who are speaking. So, hey,
I'm going to ask you nicely to let her finish her time.
Of course, she wants to let her finish her time because you agree with her.
Right. I'm going to ask you nicely to let her finish her time, or I'll ask officers to remove you.
We're going to ask you nicely.
All right.
This may not have worked in the Capitol. It's not going to work here.
She said.
Well, something about the Capitol.
This
what
may
happened?
Have worked at the Capitol. It's not going to work in this.
Oh, okay. Oh. Someone who reads the paper, I see.
Here.
My kid is at risk. Right. And it would be nice if the so-called Christian community that we have here in Fort Mill were going to be their brother's keeper and do what's best for all. A mask is a small gesture we should all make. Yes, make masks.
Small gesture.
I love this. I love the mean girl atmosphere in this room where all of the conservative parents are mocking mercilessly this woman. I love it. It's about damn time. It's about, there's more. She says more.
Yeah. He just said no mandates, but he also follows that up immediately with the caveat that South Carolinians will do the right thing and that he says the right thing to do is everybody knows they need to wear masks and keep socially distanced. I'm just begging you. I've kept my kids home this year because
Chris, stay home.
My elderly mother and my father just had a heart attack. I'm sorry. Well, are you sad that they're not dead?
My father and I died of COVID, so they're home.
This is the last time I will ask, or you'll all be removed.
I hope to God you're going to listen to this nonsense with the QAnon bullshit.
This is not QAnon.
Oh my God.
Can you believe it?
Oh yeah, yeah. They learned how to say these things a couple months ago, so they're in the know. They know what's going on. We know what's going on behind all this.
This is all QAnon.
We know where you guys come from. That might work at the Capitol, you QAnoners. That might work at the Capitol, Q-sters, but not here. Because mommy's here.
Okay, all right, okay. All right. So there's that. And then I do want to say that in a vote that just happened, Frank, Liz Cheney is out.
Of what, party leadership?
Yeah. Now, there are 100. We have to go back to COVID because I have a study that came out of MIT yesterday that we must cover today. But Liz Cheney was, you know, evicted from her leadership role within the GOP. And on the eve of this last night, the New York Times came out with a post that 100 former Republicans, some former lawmakers, are saying that if the GOP does not get back on track, they will be forming their own party. I wonder if they'll call it, like, the Never American Party.
You know, I mean, whatever. They're talking to nobody. It's not even worthy of trying to break that all down because they're just talking to nobody. I mean, the reason why this is happening is because the GOP is a joke and has been for a long time, and nobody cares. You've had your own party, and it's being rejected. You can go and take your ball, and nobody cares.
Yeah.
Because at this point, especially, there's absolutely nothing to lose.
And
nothing to lose.
There's no support for these people. They're going to form their own party, and nobody's going to vote there.
Yeah.
Like, literally, no. Maybe Democrats will.
No, there's nothing to lose because even so, right now, what we're being shown is that there is, no respect for rule of law or anything across the board. So if we had to live through what we just did over the from November until now,
what's the difference?
Then why even try to make a concession or nothing? There's nothing left to salvage with this party. So let them go away because they're inconsequential anyway.
And leave us here because we're happy to fix it. We really are.
Go the hell away.
Just honest.
I hate the name of the party. I hate parties altogether.
Yeah.
But this has gone beyond party anyway. This is just people across so many different divides that have seen this degradation for what it is, and they threw all their support behind somebody, at least for a time when he was around, that really transcended party.
True.
So it's the hell with him. I don't care. Go start a club somewhere. Nobody cares.
Yeah, get all the Democrats' money and all the liberal money and try and do, you know, the Never Trump thing really worked out well for you guys, you know. She said this, Liz Cheney, before the meeting. This is her statement. Thank you to the girls at UDC for this. I'm going to take a moment of personal privilege and then we'll have the prayer and pledge, she opened. Quote, ready? I have tremendous affection and admiration for many of you in this room. I know we all came to Washington to do important work for the nation. History has chosen every single one of us, and history has put us here together at this moment of challenge for our country. Our nation needs this Republican Party as a strong party based on truth so we can shape the future. To do that, we must be true to our principles and to the Constitution. We cannot let the former president drag us backward and make us complicit in his efforts to unravel our democracy. Down that path lies our destruction and potentially the destruction of our country. You're doing quite a good job of it on your own, lady.
It's not the former president. I mean, do you understand? If it's people saw that a person that they voted for in insurmountable numbers was shoved off and kicked away by a consolidated group of supposedly bipartisan people, crooks, a bipartisan crookery. That's what we're talking about here, bipartisan crookery. You can take Donald Trump and you can replace him with anybody. People with a brain, with an IQ of at least room temperature, know what they just lived through right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Those who do not see a benefit in the operation that was just run on this country know that nobody stands to actually benefit in the long run from this kind of criminality going on. So you can talk about the former president, this and that. It's really not about Donald Trump. It's really not about him.
That's just their easy scapegoat, Frank.
Of course, because they have nothing and they never have.
They just blame everything on President Trump. And, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous. But I do have something else that she said. If you want leaders who will enable and spread his destructive lies, I'm not your person. You have plenty of others to choose from. That will be their legacy. But I promise you this, after today, I'll be leading the fight to restore our party and our nation to conservative principles, to defeating socialism, to defending our republic, to making the GOP worthy again of being the party of Lincoln.
Defeating socialism.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the party of Lincoln again. Okay. Party of Lincoln.
This is what's coming out of Liz Cheney right before she's removed. Now, I've seen a lot of people not happy that the person they're choosing to replace her is Elise Stefanik.
From Schuylerville, huh?
Yes. Now, you're in New York, Frank. Do you know her record?
No. I just know what kind of a media sensation she's become, and I know people who live in her district who are very happy with her, but, you know.
Like, people are saying she's really not very conservative at all.
I guess you have to look into it.
Like, I know what I've seen of Elise Stefanik, okay? What I've seen of Elise Stefanik is that she was the only one to ask the right question of James Comey before, right after Donald Trump was elected, and she asked him about why he didn't alert everybody about what happened with the whole, you know what I mean? Remember that clip of her?
Yeah, I do.
Then I remember how she was steadfastly against the first impeachment and stood up and was a spokesperson against it. These are the things that I remember of her. But again, apparently she was for amnesty or something like that. And there were a few things that she voted on or sponsored that were like not very conservative. So I don't know. And I'm not claiming to know, so don't kill the messenger here. I'm just saying that's who the front runner for this new position is. And she's very young. She was the youngest Republican congresswoman, I think, ever. But she's brilliant, in my opinion. I just don't
Stefanik?
Know.
Stefanik?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know about that.
Yeah. How old is she? Look it up real quick.
Let's see. Thirty-six years old.
Yeah, she's young.
Hold on. On the issues. Let me see if this is still a. Or just the issues? Yeah, ontheissues.org. Let me see Stefanik. Stefanik on the issues. Okay, let's see. All right, on abortion, opposes abortion rights according to Faith to Action, July 2014, opposes abortion rights to September 2014, no taxpayer funding of abortions, Obamacare 2015, ban abortion after 20 weeks except for maternal life, May 2015, sponsored a bill to protect infant survivors on abortion, February 2019. So she's pretty good there. Budget and economy. No issues yet recorded on the issues. Civil rights. Don't elevate gender identity as a protected class. May 2016. I don't know how thorough this is. It's usually very thorough unless there's not a lot going on there.
Okay.
No issue stance yet recorded about crime. On drugs, rated C by NORML, indicating a mixed record on drug reform. On education, opposes Common Core, 2014, opposes it in 2015. No strings attached block grants will kill transparency, 2015. I like that. Vouchers break link of low income and low quality schools, October 2015. Supports Keystone on energy, supports regulating CO2, supports Keystone again, 2014. Drill for oil and gas and offshore OCS. I'm trying to see. There's more. I mean, there's a lot here. She voted, let's see, repeal Obamacare, replace with common sense solutions, healthcare, 2014. Well-funded Fort Drum helps, let me see, on immigration, supports the deportation of illegals in 2014, both July and September. 2016, voted to legalize Dreamer immigrants via military service. That's a little weird.
Yeah, that was where people were starting to get like a little ornery.
Yeah, that was 2016. Increase both high-skill and family-based visa caps, 2019. On war and peace, president okay to use military force against Iran, That's February 2020. They say that she, where the hell's her overall score? Either way, if you ever want to research what's going on with one person or another, especially if they are in your district, you can go to ontheissues.org. That's usually where I have gone in the past. I don't know how well it's kept up, but it used to be a pretty great gauge on people. So I don't know. From this, she seems pretty solid. Then again, District 21, New York, so she's not anywhere near me, but I know people that live in her district that are pretty happy and that are happy that she's being given a little bit more of a nod of leadership in the country.
Yeah, she's been elected there now. Yeah. How many times? 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 times?
About that, I guess.
So, she's pretty solidly in there.
Yeah.
District. Anyway, so Lee Stefanik. Now, Frank, this is going to blow your mind. This is going to blow your mind. MIT came out with a study, a quote, study. I'm going to find it right here. They infiltrated, quote, a
extremist group,
COVID skeptics community.
Oh, okay.
A few months ago.
Same thing.
What do you think the study says it found?
That they're a danger to the country?
To the contrary.
Really?
A COVID skeptics community was infiltrated by MIT researchers a few months ago and found that skeptics place a high premium on data analysis and empiricism. Quote, most fundamentally, the groups we studied believe that science is a process and not an institution. Indeed, anti-maskers often reveal themselves to be more sophisticated in their understanding of how scientific knowledge is socially constructed than their ideological adversaries, who espouse naive realism about the, quote, objective truth of public health data. In other words, anti-maskers value unmediated access to information and privileged personal research and direct reading over, quote, expert interpretations.
It's, wow.
Yeah. Just
why would they publish this?
Just wait. I'll tell you why. They throw something in at the end to make sure they retain their funding and have the proper narrative about how screwed up we are. But its members value individual initiative and ingenuity, trusting scientific analysis only insofar as they can replicate it themselves by accessing and manipulating the data firsthand. They are highly reflexive about the inherently biased nature of any analysis and resent what they view as the arrogant self-righteousness of scientific elites. Quote, many of the users believe that the most important metrics are missing from government-released data. One user wrote, quote, coding data is a big deal, and those definitions should be offered transparently by every state. Without a national guideline, we are left with this mess. The lack of transparency within these data collection systems, which many of these users infer is a lack of honesty, erodes these users' trust with both government institutions and the data sets they release. In fact, there are multiple threads every week where users debate how representative the data are of the population, given the increased rate of testing among many states. These groups argue that the conflation of asymptomatic and symptomatic cases therefore makes it difficult for anyone to actually determine the severity of the pandemic. For these anti-mask users, their approach to the pandemic is grounded in more scientific rigor, not less. So more scientific rigor, not less. These individuals as a whole are extremely willing to help others who have trouble interpreting graphs with multiple forms of clarification by helping people find the original sources so they can replicate the analysis themselves, by referencing other reputable studies that come to the same conclusions, by reminding others to remain vigilant about the limitations of the data, and by answering specific questions about the implications of a specific graph. It keeps going, and I'm going to keep going because it's something else. While these groups highly value scientific expertise, they also see collective analysis of data as a way to bring communities together within a time of crisis, and being able to transparently and dispassionately analyze data is crucial for democratic governance. In fact, The explicit motivation for many of these followers is to find information so that they can make the best decisions for their families, and by extension, the communities around them. The message that runs through these threads is unequivocal, that data is the only way to set fear-bound politicians straight, and using better data is a surefire way towards creating a safer community. Data literacy is a quintessential criterion for membership within the community they've created. Arguing that anti-maskers need more scientific literacy is to characterize their approach as uninformed and inexplicably extreme. The study shows the opposite. They are deeply invested in forms of critique and knowledge production they recognize as markers of scientific expertise. It's almost over. We argue that anti-maskers' deep story draws from similar wells of resentment, but adds a particular emphasis on the usurpation of scientific knowledge by a paternalistic, condescending elite that expects intellectual subservience rather than critical thinking from the public. And yet in the conclusion they say, quote, the skeptical impulse that the science simply isn't settled, prompting people to simply, quote, think for themselves to horrifying ends. And then they compare it to the January 6th Capitol riot. After they say all of those things about how brilliant we are, they try and crap all over us by saying, this is what caused the January 6th riot.
So what you're saying is the January 6th riot was born from some, like, maybe some righteous indignation, perhaps. Even though you blew it out of proportion with all of your reporting and all that nonsense and lied repeatedly about the severity of it all and covered up where the real violence came from and the real death and destruction came from. So you're saying that maybe there is a real reason to be completely distrusting of the power structure that is currently in place and not letting go in this country. Maybe.
Again, MIT, Frank. Pretty yep. Amazing, right?
Yeah, pretty amazing indeed.
And I think that I agree wholeheartedly with all of that. None of us, I don't know one single person who has come into an anti-masking argument without data and facts to support their argument. Not one. You know, you could technically just make the argument on freedom itself and be done with it. Very basic. The government does not have the right to tell me that I need to cover my face to breathe. That's it. End of story.
Well, I mean, I sent you guys something. Let me see here.
Who's you guys?
I sent in the Telegram a couple of days ago, like you and Harold.
Oh.
This kind of goes in line. Because I say it's one thing or another, and even if they tell you a little something, it has to be subterfuge for something else. Here is just an opening paragraph and a half from an article that was published on newrepublic.com. By a complete miscreant, Charlie Savage.
Who is this?
Okay.
Person?
It's called The Rise of Private Spies.
Oh, I saw this. Okay, yes, read this. This is good.
So why this relates a little bit is just in the way that there's the twisting that goes on. Now, obviously MIT had to twist in the end mm-hmm. and try to find a way to take a noble pursuit of truth. And those who are actually interested in reading and doing investigative work for themselves using common sense and then applying that to everyday life and how something, an idea, a service, something might be sold to them. And pretty much negating that and saying, just sit back and let the trusted experts do all the work, because if you go and do the work yourself, you might find yourself raiding a Capitol building yeah. one day. Okay? Listen to this, because – and also remember, this comes on the heels of Chelsea Clinton going out to the Vatican saying that we need a concerted effort to make sure that social media is rid of any kind of extremism. The White House in the earlier parts of May – had already said that they were considering partnering up with private groups, private investigative groups, private one thing or another to go and root out extremism online and all that stuff. So as far as private spies goes, it's okay as long as it's the right kind of private spy.
Can I ask you a question real quick? Was Chelsea yeah. Clinton wearing her upside down cross necklace when she went to the Vatican?
I don't know. I don't know.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. But listen to this. As WikiLeaks was riding to global fame a decade ago by publishing archives of leaked American military and diplomatic files, its founder, Julian Assange, liked to call his organization an intelligence agency of the people, which, of course, is just something that he called it. You know, it's not what they are.
Right, and I seem to remember the Democrats loving Julian Assange when he did that 10 years ago. But I'm
you wait. We're 2 seconds away from the laugh riot that becomes the entirety of this article. The slogan conjured an ideal of gathering and disseminating information solely to improve public understanding of the world and to enable democracy to better function without the presumed machinations of a nation-state spy agency. But by 2016, WikiLeaks had famously been co-opted by Russia's GRU. Through a front entity, the Russian intelligence agency provided WikiLeaks with Democrat Party emails stolen as a part of a covert hack and dump. Hack and dump.
I had no idea that Seth Rich was Russian.
I know. Oh, no. Oh, he's in this article, too. Actually, he's in the next sentence, Tracy.
Oh, sorry.
As a part of a covert hack and dump operation intended to manipulate the U.S. presidential election, Assange then stoked the conspiracy theory, apparently concocted by another Russian intelligence agency, that the emails had been instead leaked by a Democrat Party staffer, Seth Rich, who had been murdered in July of that year. In fact, as the Mueller report showed, WikiLeaks had corresponded with and received an encrypted file from the actual source of the hacked email after Rich's death. And you know where they link back to? Michael Isikoff and Yahoo News. And here's one last short paragraph. I kept thinking about the big question raised by the complex tragedy of WikiLeaks' idealistic rise and later debasement. What label to attach to its various activities as it changed over time? The only thing that changed over time is we realized that WikiLeaks was an equal opportunity exposer.
Yeah.
They don't care when he was making things hard for George W. Bush and the CIA or even Sarah Palin. They only cared when they interrupted their business at the DNC.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can't, whether it's the MIT article or anything else like that, these are very, very manipulative swine, every last one of them.
So are they basically saying in that article that independent journalism is evil?
It should not be trusted across the board or not trusted just because it's supposedly independent. Here's the last... let me see here. The tragedy arc of WikiLeaks is a warning that the lines between traditional journalists, private detectives, very online activist investigators, and nation-state intelligence operations constantly threaten to blur. That inherent instability provides a backdrop to the fundamental point that people outside government performing intelligence-style work seem to be having a rising impact. So I guess what they're just trying to do is make sure that everybody remains, even though they're trying to say that I guess independence is an important thing, because obviously they're seeking out independent help to find out how they can root out extremism. Well, I mean, how can you explain this fascistic marriage between the United States government and Silicon Valley, if not a marriage with supposed private companies that are now doing all the dirty work and all the spy work for intelligence agencies who legally, by way of the Bill of Rights, can't openly do the things that they're doing. So that's fine. But they also want to make sure that people are highly skeptical about everything else out there. And only really when it comes down to it, take in what they say is really good information.
Oh, what they say.
Of course. That's really what it only matters. Okay. That's all that matters.
Just wanted to make sure that we know who we're supposed to be listening to. You know?
Yeah.
That's something else. I have other things. The Arizona audit. And Michigan. We'll try and get to these two things as quickly as possible. Here we go. Okay, so Michigan. The attorney for some of the counties that Matt DiPernell brought in to his lawsuit because he wants to widen discovery to other counties now that he knows what he knows. This attorney was apparently from the Republican Party. He was a chair of a Republican Party in one of these counties, and he's fighting against this transparency and this audit and all of the things that DiPernell wants. And they had actually literally just signed it's a resolution. Like, the Republican Party draws up resolutions sometimes saying they condemn or support or whatever, just so that their county party is on record with what their views are. So they, on December 10th, they made a voter integrity resolution, and the Grand Traverse County Republican Party signed that in, and he was the chair there. His name is, hold on, come on, Kazim. Haider Kazim. So why all of a sudden is Haider Kazim fighting against the transparency that the party that he was elected chair of has signed a resolution to make sure that they get to the bottom of?
Yeah.
Follow the money, my dear. Follow the money.
And have you heard any anything else out of Arizona?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Here's Kelly Ward, who is coming on the show probably Friday, by the way.
Sweet.
Yeah. Here we go. We're going to listen to her now. She's smiling, but she's... Why isn't it playing?
Hello, everyone. It is time for America's audit update from the Republican Party of Arizona. I am your chairwoman, Dr. Kelly Ward. And I want to give you a quick update as to what we are watching as the handling of the ballots cast in 2020 election continues at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum in Phoenix. Now, as most of you know, the focus is now on whether Maricopa County's attorneys release critical passwords and routers as deemed necessary by the Arizona Senate to proceed with the full forensic audit. Just recently, we learned from Maricopa County attorneys that they don't have any more passwords to provide. They actually say that Dominion has those passwords and the county doesn't have access to them, which in itself is an incredible admission of incompetence or of duplicity. And in total disregard to an earlier court-backed subpoena, they say the routers are off limits, given the supposed threat to law enforcement if the information contained on them were to be released. Well, we debunked that sham yesterday in one of our earlier videos right here. Now we hear that the expense of providing the routers is just too high, maybe $6 million. Another excuse, another roadblock, another smokescreen. This sets the stage for some fireworks, and it's the focus of our attention tonight. It's basically a waiting game. Will Maricopa County's attorneys relent and comply with the audit and the subpoena? If not, the Arizona State Senate has indicated they are fully prepared to move swiftly, perhaps within hours, to subpoena the entire Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, as well as Democrat Sheriff Paul Penzone of Maricopa County, to address why the release of these passwords and routers, why they weren't released under the initial order, the initial subpoena. Democrat Penzone has weighed in recently, throwing his support behind Maricopa County's refusal to release the routers. Wonder why? He may find himself under particular scrutiny by the Arizona Senate as they ask him to support his statements. All this has the very real potential to throw everything back into the courts, which thus far have been in agreement and adamant that the Arizona State Senate has the right to audit the election, administer the audit as it chooses, and act and report on those findings. We're watching as the events unfold so we can keep all of you informed about the latest developments. Expect to hear from us as soon as news breaks on the audit and on the current standoff. Thank you for tuning in. And for those of you who are supporting Finishing America's Audit.
There's that.
Well, Yep, there's that.
If you guys want up-to-date news on this, one of the channels that I found that they're fans of the show, by the way, too. It's called AZ Informer on Telegram. If you go to the search function and just type in Arizona Informer channel, they have been always just completely on top of this. They have great information, and they're good people. So follow along there if you want to. What they're doing now, there's more letters. Oh, we're concerned about the security. This is abhorrent. We can't believe this has happened. They are so, it's, you know what they do, the Democrats? They like to just wear you down like a kid who doesn't get their way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you just get worn down. That's, and they're so happy with themselves.
Mm-hmm. It's gross.
Yeah.
It's gross. This is what they do. How about a little comedy?
Sure.
I have a couple of comedy things that I put here. Here's one. Identify the voice, Frank.
Okay.
How can I put this? Christmas ornaments, drywall, and Jerry Epstein. Name three things that don't hang themselves. I believe love is the answer, but I own a handgun just in case. This country was founded by geniuses, but it's being run by a bunch of idiots. Why do the members of the United States Senate continue to double down on stupid? We do not need more gun control. We need more idiot control. Nancy Pelosi is trying to impeach him. It must suck to be that dumb. I'll put it this way. If you hate cops just because they're cops, you don't know anything about them, then next time you get in trouble, call a crackhead.
Is that the Senator Kennedy?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Okay. From Louisiana?
Yes.
Okay.
Indeed.
Okay, so there you have it. Okay, I got it. Yay!
Good for you. I'm proud of you. Very proud of you.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, too, we had Fauci denying he funded gain of use from the NIH to Wuhan. Gain of function, sorry.
Oh, with Rand Paul.
Yeah.
I saw that exchange.
Was and it good? Because I haven't watched it yet.
I mean, Rand Paul just lays it on out there, and all Fauci can say is, you're lying.
But he's not.
He's not. He's not lying. But once again, he can say whatever he feels. He can say whatever he wants because he's in with the people he's in with. Mm. That's really that's the sad part.
They just get to lie with impunity, with absolute impunity.
Yeah, because then you have Rachel Maddow that'll go on out there, like with her coverage of Arizona, how she brought on the Arizona Secretary of State and just did her blinky-eyed weird shtick about, you know, is this a joke or is this a dangerous joke? That's pretty much what her babbling came on down to. And then the Secretary of State says, I'm glad you bring this up. It is dangerous.
Freaking ridiculous.
Yeah.
What else did I have? I had other stuff, but we can't get into it. Somebody put I'm seeing all these videos of the magnets sticking to the people who have gotten the vaccine.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That happened to my cousin.
Shut up.
My cousin Sherry, she sent it to me. Her husband just got it. And, you know, she's the only one that's held out. And the magnet stuck.
Oh, my God.
So are you serious? I said, I don't know. I said, what is it? There is an actual magnetic attraction? Or is it like there's a surface stickiness? You know, sometimes you can stick something to skin just because the skin is moist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know, but it seems like that's not the case.
Moist. That's the worst word ever.
Yeah, Lauren doesn't like it either.
Moist. It's funny because Gigi got my husband a card for his birthday, and the front of it is moist. That's all it says on the card, just because he hates it so much. It's so funny. Here, let's listen to Liz Cheney give her statement about being a washed-up old warmonger. Here.
We have had the conference meeting. I am absolutely committed, as I said last night, as I said just now to my colleagues, that we must go forward based on truth. We cannot both embrace the big lie and embrace the Constitution. And going forward, the nation needs it. The nation needs a strong Republican Party. The nation needs a party that is based upon fundamental principles of conservatism. And I am committed and dedicated to ensuring that's how this party goes forward, and I plan to lead the fight to do that. I will do everything I can to ensure that the former president never again gets anywhere near the Oval Office. We have seen the danger that he continues.
Who the hell do you think you are?
They're insane, and they're just all very, very insane people.
I will do everything I can to ensure he doesn't ever get into office again. Who are you?
To provoke with his language. We have seen his lack of commitment and dedication to the Constitution.
Are you kidding me?
And I think it's very important that we make sure.
You don't give a shit about the Constitution, you dumb.
That's what I'm saying. And to look at all the so-called libs out there that are embracing this woman, at least for now. The odd bedfellows that have been made as everybody's embracing the daughter of Halliburton Dick, they've completely lost the plot.
Seriously?
Completely lost the plot.
There's more to her little rambling here.
Whoever we elect is somebody who will be faithful to the Constitution.
Faithful to the Constitution? There is no Republican Party then if somebody's faithful to the Constitution.
Right.
Both parties disappear. You just speak, and you all just suck.
You know what the funny thing is too, is that like all of these establishment people and even people on the left, they look at what's going on in the Republican Party right now, Frank, and they're like, oh my God, like the left is probably like, they're falling apart. And the right's like, the establishment right is like, we can't have this happen to us. And all of us are like, little do you know.
I know.
Little do you know. Change is a coming.
It's here.
Yeah, and guess what? We have the people. You have nothing but clinging to your old crap. Nothing.
Well, that's the whole point when we talk about projection and what it blots out. What the media blots out for people, the perspective it blots out for people. One of the things that they still think is that they are a force. They're not a force. And the Republican Party has, though they see a complete destruction here, it's actually something, a salvaging. People have found their way away from this whole, that paradigm of allowing the Liz Cheneys of the world to dictate the rules that we need to play by in order to make inroads in government. It's like, no, nobody wants to hear from you. My friend, nobody wants to hear from you. Go away.
There's something at the end here, I think. Yeah. Let's just listen to that and we'll close out.
Do you feel betrayed by today's vote?
I do not. I think that it is an indication of where the Republican Party is. And I think that the party is in a place that we've got to bring it back from. And we've got to get back to a position where we are a party that can fight for conservative principles, that can fight for substance. We cannot be dragged backward by the very dangerous lies of a former president. Thank you.
What is he lying about? That's the thing. You don't believe vote. She knows. They know, Frank. They all know. These people are losers.
Well, yeah. All you have to do to ruin Donald Trump forever is prove him wrong. But apparently doing that is too big of a price to pay to be right. It's too big of a price. No, you'd be indulging the worst of it. We shouldn't go and even indulge this anymore. We've already lied once, and that should be enough.
Unbelievable. You have been listening to the Dark Slide Podcast with
Hump Dave Al and
Beans. You can find us every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 2:30 Eastern on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com until Friday.
Later.